Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Before we get into the message today, I just want to give you a brief update. What's going on here in Kenya? Have a lot of heat and drought and famine going on in different parts of Kenya, mostly in the north and the east parts, which are prone to drought and famine. And there are now 5 to 6 million people, they say, in Kenya that are drought-stricken and famine-stricken. So pray for rain, pray for provisions to come from the international community and from local generous people, generous churches that would donate to help people with food purchases and water purchases. And so that is a pressing need here in Kenya right now. Our children are in school and doing well. We're in the first term of the new year, and so we ask for your prayers for that, and we ask you to keep the church in your prayers. We're looking at expanding the church, praying about expanding the church. We're just at about overflow capacity every week in the church, so we need a bigger church. We're praying about what to do as far as expansion. That's a good problem to have, but it's going to take some money to do that. And so we're asking the Lord, give us wisdom and direction in that regard. The acre that we bought a year ago or last spring, that acre, we're fencing it, getting ready to build a school there for our children and for other children in the village. And so that will be a project, ongoing project, as we continue to get money in for the school. We're looking at probably $100,000 to build that school and start it and finish it. And so you can be praying with us on that project as well. Well, today we're going to be talking about the New Testament church. This is the pattern, the template for the New Testament church. And so if you listen to this message, read this passage of scripture in the second chapter of Acts, you will know what the New Testament church is supposed to look like. If you are a church goer, and I hope you are, you can look at your own church and overlay it on the template and see how your own church measures up, see how it compares. And as we think about church planting, as we think about organizing a church, we're doing some church planting here in Kenya. We're starting to spin off churches off of the Living Water Outreach Ministries. We're starting to spin off churches. We have 3 or 4 now that are already assigned and ready to go. And so as you look at church planting, as you look at your own church, consider that this is the plan 2,000 years later that God wants to overlay onto your church, that God wants to initiate wherever churches are planted. And nothing has really changed. The devil is the same. The Lord is the same. People's need for God is the same. People are still hungry for the Lord. And so the church is the ecclesia, the called out ones, to gather together to worship and serve the Lord and to equip the saints for the ministry, equip the saints for the work of bringing the lost into the kingdom of God. It's very simple. God doesn't bring us to a point of salvation and then just expect us to spend the rest of our life sitting in that church doing nothing. He brings us to a point of salvation, and then he wants us to be discipled. He wants us to study our Bibles. He wants us to be able to be equipped to go and reach the lost. And beloved, that's why I'm here in Africa. That's why other missionaries are here. And so you can pray for missionaries all over the world. We're the sent ones, the ones that go to the nations. And so that is God's plan for expansion of the church. It can happen domestically in the U.S., and it can also happen in other nations. So as you look at your Bible, verse 41 in the second chapter of Acts, Peter has preached this great sermon on the day of Pentecost. Peter has preached this sermon and brought the people to a place of decision, into the valley of decision. Peter then tells them to repent and be baptized, because they call out and cry out, "What must we do to be saved?" And then Peter says, "Repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Well, in verse 41, it tells us then how many made a decision, how many received the salvation that day. Verse 41 says, "Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them." And so 3,000 people responded to the gospel message that day. We don't know how many people were in attendance, but it's probably likely there was tens of thousands, maybe even 100,000 or more that were in attendance. But 3,000 made a decision that day, which is a phenomenal number that actually made a decision. That's the first evangelism crusade, the first evangelism message preached in the New Testament era. And so 3,000 people responded. And so the kingdom of God expanded by 3,000 souls that day. And then in verse 42, it tells what happened with those people after they received a message, what happened to the fellowship after they received that message. And so this is our template. This is our pattern. This is where we can go to know if our church is founded on a good foundation, if it's based on biblical principles. And so this is what we look to for direction and wisdom in church planting and in our own ecclesia, our own called out fellowship. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. And so these are the four hallmarks, the four pillars of the New Testament church. Number one, steadfastly in apostles' doctrine. Number two, fellowship. Number three, breaking of bread. And number four, in prayers. And so I'm going to take a look at each one of those individually, each one of those pillars individually. And then again, you can measure your own church against the pillars presented here in the New Testament church and see how your own church lines up. If you're in the church planting business, if you're in ministry and you're thinking about planting a church, these are the pillars and the template that you look to guide you in your New Testament church planting. All right, first is the apostles' doctrine. Well, beloved, sound teaching is very important. We have a lot of false prophets. We have a lot of people who are not teaching sound teaching. We have a lot of people who are claiming different things, especially here in Africa. There's all kinds of wild, crazy doctrines being perpetrated upon the people. And it's easy to do here in Africa. I'm not advocating anybody do it, but it's easy to do because most of the people here don't study their Bibles. They're not a real studious group. By and large, the people here don't study their Bibles. They're very busy. They're very active. They love to be active in the outdoors from early morning till late at night. And so a lot of them don't have time to read, or at least they don't think they have time to read their Bibles. But there is a dearth of sound teaching here because many people get off track. They've been taught by people who don't have a good understanding of the Bible, and so they just repeat what they have been taught. And so sound teaching is very important. Good doctrine is very important. It starts with the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. If the church doctrine is not based on the Trinity and a good understanding of the Trinity, the doctrine will waver, the doctrine will start to deviate. And when you start to deviate from the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, God in three persons, same in essence, same in purpose, but in three persons. When people start to deviate from that, then the doctrine gets crazy. The doctrine becomes cult-like, and in some places it is a full-blown cult. And so people get led astray very bad and very seriously. They get led astray. So in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13, Paul is telling Timothy, he said, "Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine." And verse 16, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So many times through the book of Timothy, who was the protege and being mentored by the Apostle Paul, so many times through that book, 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, Paul is encouraging Timothy to present good doctrine, study, so you can rightly divide the word of truth and show yourself approved to God, save both yourself and those who hear you with good doctrine. And beloved, there's no shortcut to knowing good doctrine. There's no shortcut to understanding the word of God. You just have to spend time in study. You have to spend time diligently in prayer, asking God for wisdom and discernment. But you have to spend time in study. That's why it's so important to study God's word every single day. Have a quiet time early in the morning before you get started, or late at night, whatever works for you. But you have to have time to study and show yourself approved. And if you don't read God's word, it's easy to get led astray. If you don't read God's word, it's easy for somebody to come in and convince you. Facebook, there's all kinds of theology on Facebook. There's all kinds of theology at the coffee shop when people are sitting around just idling away their time and talking with each other. There's all kinds of theology there. There's all kinds of theology even coming over the radio and TV evangelism programs. And so you have to study the Bible on your own. Get your Bible out, start to read it. If you're not a Bible reader, if you have not been accustomed to do that, read it in the New Testament, the four gospel messages, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Read those first, and then go into the book of Acts and the book of Romans, and then the letters, the epistles. And if you do that, you'll start to get an understanding of good doctrine. You'll start to get an understanding of what God is trying to say in His Word. And if you do that on a regular basis, that study of God's word will create in you a hunger, and it will entice you, it will draw you in, it will pull you in to where you want more, you want to read more. And so that is God's plan for your life. That is God's plan, is that you study and know the doctrine that a church is founded upon. And so that is the number one thing that the church in the book of Acts, that is the number one thing that they were concerned about. It's listed first, and it's given the attention of first mention. And so doctrine is extremely important. True worshipers will worship God in spirit and in truth. And if you have spirit, you have the joy, you have the freedom. But if you have truth, you are founded on good doctrine. If you have the truth, then you cannot be led astray by false doctrine and people who are just preaching and bringing all kinds of heresy into the church. Well, the second thing that we see that the New Testament church is founded upon is fellowship. Fellowship. Well, in Hebrews 10, chapter 10, verse 24, it says, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. And then in verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation, which will devour the adversaries. Well, what Paul is saying here is that the reason that we are encouraged to gather together, the reason that we're encouraged not to forsake the assembling of our saints together, is to encourage one another in order to stir up love and good works. Beloved, when the church meets, when the people of the church meet, I'm talking about the members, the people, not the building. When the church people meet, they encourage each other. They pray for each other. They stir up love in each other. It's not just another organization. It's not like the clubs or the charitable organizations that meet in other places and other types of organizations that have many, many myriads of purposes and functions. The Church of the Living God is the body of Christ. Jesus is the head. The Church of the Living God is the body. And so it is a very unique organization. There is nothing else that even compares to it. Any place on the earth, the Church of the Living God, the people of the Living God are encouraged to draw together, to stir up love and good works. And Paul says, don't forsake the assembling of yourself. Beloved, you may think that you can get a good church experience watching on TV or listening to the radio, and I have a radio ministry, so I encourage you to listen to the radio, but I encourage you even more, go to church, get in a fellowship, get in a group of Bible-believing believers, sit in Bible study, sit in church service every Sunday, make a commitment, promise yourself and make a commitment, make a resolution that you're not going to miss, you're going to be there every Sunday, so that you can encourage other people, stir up good works and love in other people. And if you do that, you will see your life start to grow. You'll see your walk with the Lord start to grow. Do not forsake the gathering of the saints. Beloved, if you're hanging out there by yourself and you can't figure out why the devil is picking you off and the devil is beating you up so much, it's because you're by yourself. You have nobody to pray with. You have nobody to hold you accountable. You have nobody to encourage you. Get in a church and stay there. Get involved in Bible study. Get involved in mission projects. Get involved in outreaches of the church, and you will be blessed. You'll start to see things happen in your life that can't possibly happen when you're hanging out there by yourself trying to maintain a walk with the Lord without the help and the fellowship of other believers in the church. So that's number two, the fellowship. It is extremely important that you be in a fellowship. I can't emphasize that enough. It's extremely important. And so get in the fellowship and stay there. Take your family, take your wife, take your husband, whoever, and go there and be there every Sunday. Well, third thing, the third pillar of the New Testament church is the breaking of bread or communion. Jesus said, as often as you meet, do this in remembrance of me. And so it's good for churches to have communion. Some churches do it on a weekly basis, some on a monthly or quarterly basis, whatever works for the church. But Jesus said, when you come together, when you gather together, do this in remembrance of me. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So Jesus himself was the one that initiated the sacrament of communion. And he said, take and eat this bread. It is to remember my body that was broken for you. Then in verse 25, he talks about the cup. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. And so we take the bread and we remember the broken body of Jesus, the body of Jesus hanging on the cross, and the body that he gave up for our sin. The blood that was shed was represented or is represented by the cup of juice, the cup of wine, the blood that he shed cleanses us of all unrighteousness, the blood that he shed on the cross, the blood that he shed at the whipping post, the blood that he shed as the nails were driven through his hands and through his feet, the blood that was shed as the spear was driven up through his side to drain all the blood and the water out from his heart cavity. The blood is sufficient to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And so we take a cup of wine or a cup of juice to remember that blood that Jesus shed for us. In verse 26, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." And so we proclaim the Lord's death. We believe that he died on the cross for us. We believe that he was resurrected after 3 days. We believe that he sits at the right hand of God. And we believe that he makes intercession for us each and every day. And so we are proclaiming, this is what we believe. With the heart you believe, resulting in righteousness. With the mouth you confess, resulting in salvation. So this is what we believe, and so this is what we practice when we take communion. It draws us together as a body of believers. It draws us together in fellowship because we believe Jesus is coming back again. We believe that he's sitting at the right hand of God until all of his enemies are made a footstool under his feet. And so when you partake of communion, you draw close to each other and you draw close to God. Well, the last thing, the last pillar of the New Testament church in prayers, it says that in 1 Thessalonians, Apostle Paul said, pray without ceasing. That means you can pray while you're driving down the road. That means you can pray while you're walking along on your walk in the early morning or in the evening. You can pray when you have your secret place, your time of devotion with the Lord. You can pray when you go to the hospital to see people. You can pray when we pray here on the radio. Pray with us. And so prayers as a fellowship, as a group, are very powerful. If one can put 1,000 to flight and 2 10,000, just think about 100 people in a church, how many demons they can put to flight. And so it's very important for people to get together, to pray together, and to express their prayers to the Lord. He knows what our needs are even before we speak them, even before we start to pray. God already knows our needs, but he wants us to express them. He wants us to come to him in humility, to position ourselves before him and express to him, God, this is what we desire, this is what we need, this is what we want. And we can pray for other people, intercede for other people as a church. We can intercede for those that are sick, those that are perishing, those that are lost, those that are in foreign lands and need encouragement. And so that is a blessing. Matthew chapter 18, verse 19, "Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." You do that through prayer. You bind things on earth, and the Lord binds them in heaven. You loose things on earth, and the Lord looses them in heaven. And in verse 19, it says, "Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything you ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven." Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Heavenly Father. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. And so Jesus says, when you gather together, you pray. And when two or three of you agree, touch and agree on anything, he said, ask whatever you wish, and my Heavenly Father will grant it to you. And so that's the reason we pray. That's how we pray. We gather together, we touch and agree, we join hands, and we join voices, we join hearts to pray and agree that this is what we want and this is the will of God for the things that we are praying for. Well, Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. I thank the Lord for that. We enjoy bringing these broadcasts to you, but we appreciate your support so we can continue to pay the radio station and keep these broadcasts coming for many years to come. We also have the projects going here in Africa. We need to drill a water well on a new school property. We also need to start raising money and funds to build a school. And so this is God's will for this ministry here in Africa. Pray about your part in helping us. We'd love to hear from you today. Sit down, write us out a check. Let us know you're listening. Let us know you enjoy these broadcasts. We'd love to hear from you. And do it today to encourage us. Do it today for your blessing, for the kingdom blessing, and for the blessing of this ministry. Stay tuned for contact information coming up at the end of this broadcast. Thank you again for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.